Well, hey guys, welcome back to X-Files Diaries. Just wanted to let you know we have a little special episode for you. Several weeks ago, Jen and I recorded an episode talking about David and Jillian, the actors on the show. And we recorded this a while ago before we knew we were going to be fortunate enough to be attending Spooky Empire in Orlando, which we just attended. Because of all of the craziness and hype about that event, we wanted to send you guys a special episode this week talking about our experience at that convention. So first, we're going to have the section of the podcast be what we talked about several weeks ago, and we're going to follow up with our experience at Spooky. Thanks and enjoy. Well, hello, everybody, again, and welcome back to X-Files Diaries. I'm Annie.
And I'm Jen. Hello, everybody.
And, you know, today we thought we would talk about a little more kind of behind the scenes topic, the actual actors who play our favorite characters, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, Mulder and Scully. First of all, I love them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I just do. It's so funny because it's like every time I'm just like, I'll like be going around YouTube and I'll just be clicking around and I'll be like, hey, here's an interview I don't think I've seen before. And it's just, it's like even more adorable than the last. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
This is what we have to we're going to figure that out, I think. We're going to try to figure that out today.
I think that's what we should figure out because I do think.
I'm going to figure it out.
I do think to date that those two and their real life relationship are the most interesting X-File ever.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah, I think we're just the two gals to solve it.
I hope so. No, I actually don't. I know from personal experience, I'm going to say online over the past several months, that there are people out there that are far more versed in this than me.
Oh, God. Because, well, I mean, there are some that, you know, we'd never reach that level of being well-versed unless we made it like a full-time job.
Well, and I think some of these people do. Like, I legitimately believe that. Like, people have made, like, timelines and, like, they write out, like, every single interaction and what they did and what they said and how it compares what they said 20 years ago. And then there's, like, fights about it. And I'm like, everybody needs to just calm down because this is ridiculous.
But I know, but I mean, it's just like, you know, you and I are into like the fictional X-Files.
Yeah.
And some people probably think it's a little over the top, maybe. Crazy people might think that about us and they'd be wrong, obviously. But and then I understand now that there are also people that are that into the real David and Jillian, as into the X-Files I am. And as much as I just pour over every detail, they do that with David and Jillian. And I mean, like, who am I to cast stones at that when I do the same thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? Let's just jump right in because I think that's a kind of an interesting place to start is sort of people who can't seem to or don't want to separate the two real people from the two characters. This is really interesting to me because this was never like a thing that I was like aware of. Like, I think at the like when I was first into this show, it was always all about Mulder and Scully, and I was like, this is really, I want them to get together. I ship them. I got it. But, like, it never really occurred to me, and maybe I'm just dumb. I didn't watch interviews. Like, you know, there was no YouTube back then. Like, you know, I just, it wasn't a thing on my mind that I was like, oh, what's going on behind the scenes with these real people? Like, as at least from, like, the perspective of them as these two characters, you know what I mean? So, for me, it wasn't, like, on my radar. And every time I thought about it or I read a news article or I saw something like, oh, they met up and had dinner or they... I don't know. I'm making this shit up. But like, I would think, that's cute. That's a nice idea. What if they dated in real life? That's super cute. And then it would just kind of like pass. And I'd be like, okay, back to the show. But like, this is like a full-time gig for people. And especially now with the internet and like how people can just dissect every single thing that they have ever said and done with each other. Like, I came on Twitter earlier this year and I was in shock with some of the things that I saw, like with people, like what they would say and what they would talk about and how they would, it was like this whole new wormhole to me. I was like, wow, I thought dissecting the show was bad. This is crazy.
I know. It's next level kind of stuff.
Yeah. So tell me your feelings on this whole phenomenon.
All right. Well, if you'd said the word Jelovny to me, let's say 2 weeks ago, I would have said, God, no, I don't even want to hear that word. Please, no. There was a time that I actually briefly considered, not that briefly, muting the word Jelovny from my timeline on Twitter, just because I was like, no, stop it. This is crazy.
Okay, but why? And, wait, let's dig into that. Why? Okay, right, why? Okay. Like, you seem to have some very strange visceral reaction to it.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm.
I don't mean strange. I think that you, was know, the what? Wrong you word, know what? You know
what? No, go with it. I think that I probably reacted to, can I say, like, Jelovny fans or Jelovny shippers?
Yeah.
Probably a similar way that No Romos react to shippers. And now I kind of see now, when I think of it that way, then I can kind of
That's interesting.
See the point of view of the Jelovny folks a little bit more, because there are, you know, extreme Jelovny folks out there that, you know, are very, very into Jelovny and maybe just give a slightly crazy vibe to the community of, shall we say, Jelovny fans. And so I thought that was what Jelovny was all about, was just obsessing over every little bit of gossip and being kind of a little mean sometimes about them. And I kind of thought, you know, come on, these are real people, folks. It can't be as awesome as you think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly had spent a lot of my fandom avoiding David and Jillian stuff on purpose, because I've been disillusioned many a time in the past by my favorite actors and people who play my favorite characters. And then I find out in real life, they're kind of dicks or they don't get along. And it's like, I don't even want to know. I'd heard kind of vague rumors and allusions that they didn't get along. And I thought, don't want to know. I don't want to hear about it. I just want to live in my little bubble of Mulder and Scully, and I don't want the real world to interfere with that.
Okay.
And so that was kind of where I was coming from. And then I saw all the Jelovny stuff, and I'm like, this is not what I am here for. I don't want to hear about David and Jillian. I want to hear about Mulder and Scully. But okay. I mean, then we started talking about this podcast and this episode of this podcast, and I was like, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. And then you
sure,
sent
fine,
me
whatever.
A couple.
Love it.
Yeah, sure, fine, whatever. And I was like, yeah, what? You know, I'm not going to have much to say about Jelovny except whatever. And then you sent me a couple of videos, and I was like, I've seen videos before. I've seen videos before of David and Jillian. I'd only seen clips in reality. I'd honestly never really sat through a whole one of their interviews, I don't think. And so I watched a couple of videos, and we'll probably get into some more details.
Tell everyone what you watched. What I sent you.
The Jimmy Kimmel interview.
Of course.
We all know that, I think. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, we should probably now. Yeah. And there was a panel discussion at, and you're going to have to remind me what the name of it was. It was at some kind of an event in New York.
The Paley Fest.
Paley Fest, thank you. Mm-hmm. I watched the entirety of that, which I think is like an hour and a half, maybe.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And you'll have to remind me the name of the it was like a charity event, and they were interviewing each other.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I actually don't recall.
There's like three letters, and it starts with an I.
Is it IGN? Does that sound right?
Something like that. So there, I watched that.
That was kind of around like 2008, I believe.
Yep. I do believe it was.
Yeah.
And I watched like a little package of, I think it was probably them just doing the publicity for the start of season 10.
Yeah.
And it was just little clips from different interviews they did. And I felt something come over me, and it can only be described as a little bit of Jelovny obsession.
That's what it is. It's this, you're fighting against it, and then you're watching it, and you say, I felt something come over me. And that's totally what it is, because that's the same thing that happened to me. I was just like, what is this? What hath wrought this craziness? Like, I'm like, how are these people, like, I don't know. It felt like, okay, this sounds so dumb, but it felt like you're watching Mulder and Scully again. And it's like, but they're not. Like, I know they're not. And in my mind, I've always been like, I'm trying to because they're supposed to be acting, right? Like that's the whole idea. Like you're acting. Like I can think
that's
of like,
how it works.
Yeah, I can think of like, here's a good example. Like Harrison Ford, he's a shit interviewer. Okay. Like he's terrible. And that's cause it just makes me think, oh, he's just a really good actor because he's so charismatic and wonderful on screen. And then when you're watching him on an interview, you just want to shoot yourself because it's so boring. And the cool thing about David and Jillian is that, like, you expect that sort of same thing. You expect them to just be sitting there talking, but it's like, it's like electric. And I go, what is this? Yeah. I mean, you start to think about this word, the word chemistry, okay? You see that get thrown around all the time and you're like, okay, we all know that Mulder and Scully have it. We get it. These two actors have it. I mean, I think that they are to blame, quote unquote,
for what
this show turned into. You know what I mean? Because
totally.
I don't think anyone counted on it. So that's what I think to me makes it kind of special is because, and you know what the craziest thing is? They always seem to like be annoyed by this and be annoyed by these questions.
I know,
but they're the ones that are perpetuating this myth. Yeah,
exactly. Doing it then.
I just want to be like, then just stop being adorable. Just stop it. Like, anyway,
they know what they're doing. I mean, I'm not saying that they're putting it on by any means, but I mean, they know how it's coming across. They know what we're seeing. I mean, especially when they're tweeting something. I mean,
well, that takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, it's not something that's done like because you had a few too many drinks before you went on the stage, which I suspect happened in a couple of cases. But
absolutely. I was going to actually bring that up. I'm pretty sure they both got high before that Kimmel interview. I'm like,
they seem really out of they're just having a very, very jolly time, and good for them because that makes me happy too. They're so happy, and I'm happy.
The idea of them backstage like getting high makes me so happy, and I'm so certain that that happened that in my mind that's totally canon.
I mean, there's definitely, I thought maybe they just had too much champagne, but you know, high definitely works too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just very, they seem a little happier than you'd normally expect two people to be. So that's all right. It's good.
It's just, it was one of those scenarios that like, and let me just break this down. And we talked about the interviews and we don't need to go into too much depth about it, but like when I see them in an interview with somebody like a third party, it's like they're in their own little bubble. Okay. It's like they're in their own little world. They have all these little inside jokes and all these little looks and all these things that you're just like, okay. And again, I keep having to say it's just like Mulder and Scully because it's the same thing, but I'm watching it and I'm just like, I feel like in that Jimmy Kimmel interview, he is us because he's like, what is going on here? Because that's what we all just want to know. Like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, just tell us. Like, stop fucking around. That's what's the funniest thing. It's like, it's just...
And
go ahead.
You're so right that they are just kind of in their own little world. They're just looking at each other. They barely even look at the person who, whether it's a moderator or an interviewer, they barely even look at them usually.
No.
I mean, I feel like if I'm moderating a panel that they're on, I mean, like, pray God that that would ever come to pass. I would just like stand back and say, go to it, you two. I mean, in whatever form you wish. And
which is what they decided to do for the a lot of these interviews, which.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best idea because that's what they're going to do anyway. They don't care what someone else has to say to them.
No.
And they don't care what they have to say to somebody else. They're really only interested in talking to each other.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree that it's really, it's just cute. Like, I don't know. It's super cute. Like, again, I think there's also two different, or maybe there's several layers, but I would say there's two main layers to this because I think there are people out there that think that like, oh, like they're soulmates and they belong together and they should get married and have children and be happy ever after. And then I think there are people, and like me, I would fall into this category that just like, I want to say like, I friendship them. Like I love to see them like having fun and joking around and being nice to each other because when I think about them being estranged or mad or whatever, that like that kind of makes me sad because then it makes me think of like how I feel when I'm watching the show and then they're like that and then that makes me sad because I don't want that to be a thing. Like I want them to just be friends. Like I want them to be friendly and nice and like adorable and joking and have all these little inside jokes because to me I go, see, that's like, that's what a 25-year relationship looks like.
Exactly.
So
totally agree.
I feel like people kind of like, it's a nice idea, to sum up, but like, it's not like I'm waiting around for this to happen. And I think that's the problem, because I feel like a lot of people are. And that's the that's the biggest problem with this, is like, I think you can wait around for Mulder and Scully to get together because you know that's going to happen at some point. Yeah. Like, we're pretty much guaranteed that that's going to happen. This may never happen. And so these people that are just kind of like waiting around for this to happen, I'm like, you guys are, you might be waiting around forever. Like,
yeah. So, and I get the feeling some people wouldn't mind in a way waiting around forever, because it's, you know, it's just kind of fun to put the clues together. It's the excitement of what could happen at any given convention. At any given convention, when they're together, there's going to be a whole bunch of new clues for folks. Yeah. And so that's exciting. I mean, we're never going to see another episode of The X-Files, in my opinion. And so we've got what we've got. But with Jalovny, you never know when there might be something in the gossip magazines or websites. I'm dating myself there. Or, you know, they're going to show up at a convention together and you'll have a whole whack new material to work with.
Yeah. And so that is an interesting point. You do know that it will never really die. The hope of it. Maybe there's hope.
Maybe there's hope. And, you know, and I think that the hope is fun. And some people, you know, maybe take it a little too seriously in terms of, it's just like they're a little too desperate. Maybe it's just, it's almost painful for them. And have fun with it is all I would say. Just have some fun with it. Don't take it super seriously. Don't be mean about it or anything. Just have fun with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put myself as a Jalovny shipper by any means, largely because I don't know these people. And so I don't know if I want them to get together or not. They might be terrible for each other for all I know.
Right.
If they got together and they were happy together, I'd be happy for them. But I find I'm like you, I'm a friend shipper for them, I think, because I find them so entertaining to watch when they're together.
Yeah.
And it's like something magical to see. I'm almost afraid that if they actually had a romantic relationship, that might mess that up. And then, you know, things go awry, then they'd never want to see each other again. And that would be a little sad, because they entertain me to no end when they are together.
It's true. And I often wonder if that were to happen, like, first of all, everybody's heads would explode. But like, you would have, even if they were together for like a year or something, you would have just like this endless amount of content that people could probably thrive off for the rest of their lives. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then they could just pretend. They could just pretend forever. Even just talking about this kind of makes me like, man, like, seriously, could you think of another real life couple that could be more powerful than them? Like, I couldn't.
No.
I couldn't. Like,
no.
I can't come up with anything. Like, I feel like that's the only thing. I feel like completely selfishly, they should just do it, because they could probably get anything they wanted. Like,
oh, my God.
They would be unstoppable.
It would be like, I mean, now that we're talking about it, I'm kind of starting to see what you mean. It's like, it would be like the lead story on friggin' Good Morning America the next morning. It would be such a big deal. People's heads would just explode all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean,
even
if it was like for like a week, I think it would be worth it just for like the degree of excitement that it would cause.
It would be, it would, this the reaction to that. I would love to open Twitter on that day, because it would be
hilarious. It would be too much for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if there'd be any words for it.
Oh, my God.
I think it would just be like, it would be a series of emoticons is all anyone would be capable of writing at that point.
I think what it would just be would be a series of letters. Just like, I see this a lot. I see this a lot. I have to say, very specifically in the Jalovny fandom on Twitter, I'll see like a picture of them. I know maybe you've muted it, but I still love seeing adorable pictures of them. But like, I'll see a picture of them, and then just like a mash of keys, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I'll be like,
it's like, what is there to say?
I'll be like, okay. But it's funny, because I will picture this person on their phone or on their computer just flipping the fuck out and just mashing the keys. And it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like, weirdly, like, that makes me happy. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this person is so thrilled because he touched her shoulder. You know what I mean? It makes me laugh, because I'm like, that's what I am like with Mulder and Scully. So I get it. But it's just so funny to me. It's super funny.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy if people are happy.
Yes, exactly.
It's a wonderful thing. But by the same token, I fear that some people, as their happiness rises with Jalovny, it can also fall with Jalovny.
Oh, yes.
And I don't want people to be unhappy. So that's,
Well, that's the dark side. People
try to keep a bit of a level head if you can. Yeah. If you can.
If you can.
Because there's always, the thing is, like, you know, when say, there's new material coming out with David and Julian together at conventions in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
When I watch those videos, and you can believe I will.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to be watching it for fun and enjoyment. Whereas a lot of Jelovny fans, the very serious ones, will just be watching it for clues. And I'm not sure if they're really getting that much enjoyment out of it. It's just all about the clues. And they're only concerned about the degree to which that video furthers the narrative of them getting together.
Yeah, and I see
instead of enjoying what they have.
Right. I see this a lot. Like, I'll see them have a perfectly wonderful interview, and then they'll say one thing, or someone will say one thing or ask one question, and there will be one reaction, and that's all people will talk about, is this one negative thing. And I was like, what is it called when people do that? And I'm like, oh, that's just life. That's what people do. You know, but it's like, true. it's so upsetting, because I'm like, and then they'll take that one thing and run with it and be like, oh, this is so gloom and doom. And I'm like, you guys, these are people. They have good days. They have bad days. They have good interviews. They have bad interviews. Gillian Anderson doesn't remember anything half the time, or at least if she doesn't, she's claiming not to remember because she doesn't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, it all seems so perfectly obvious to me that it's just funny that, like, I see so many conspiracy theories about, like, the tiniest little things. But then when you line up some of these conspiracy theories, when you, like, line them up and you look at them, you're like, there's something kind of interesting about that. Have you met either of them?
I say meet as though like we had lunch together, but I encountered David at the Montreal Comic Con in July.
Quite recently. I remember your photo.
Yeah, we had a photo op together, and anyone that has seen that picture sees this look in my eyes of, as I described it on Twitter, I think, is this fucking even happening right now? Because it's just like, I'm so happy and like so amazed at the same time. So I met him at the photo op and I met him at the autograph signing. So it was very brief, but it was magical. I'll say that. Magical man.
He certainly is.
He's very warm and very, he just puts you at ease. I mean, I was ready to have a freak out the second I walked up to him, and he just immediately put me at ease because he's just a lovely man, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, I think it's genuine with him. And I know you say that sometimes you worry that like this is put on for cons or people can really be dicks in real life. And I've met him 3 times, lucky me.
Well, my goodness.
And you know, kind of bragging because I love him.
Go for it.
This is my progression of meeting David Duchovny. The first time, I couldn't get words out. I kind of was outside of myself. But I do remember that he was very, very polite and he signed my thing. This was just a random meeting like on the street.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was outside of. Well, no, we were completely stalking him, but it was outside of a movie premiere, and we knew he was in there. We were just waiting for him to come out, and there weren't like a lot of people. This was very you know, I don't want to say pre-9/11 because it might have been, but when I say pre-9/11, you know what I mean. But it was just, there weren't very many people around. It was just chill. He came out. I just walked up to him and I don't even think I said anything to him. I literally just like shoved my thing in his face and he took it and he kind of looked at me and he smiled and he signed the thing. And then there were a couple people around and he started looking around and I remember like at one point I actually leaned over and I tapped him because he still had my pen and he was like signing other people's. And I'm like, I'm getting that pen back. Like he touched it and I didn't say anything, but I remember he turned around, and he looked right at me and he goes, is this your pen? And I was just like, yeah, it is. Thank you. And but I didn't say anything. Like I said, there were no words that came out. And then the second time it was at a book signing and I think words came out, but it was like, blah, blah. It was like, I walked away and I was like, what did I even say to him? I don't even know. And then the third time, which was pretty recently, for his latest book, it was he keeps doing the book signings out here in LA. So, so it's a very controlled environment. But I do remember walking away feeling like, third time's a charm. I said something to him and he talked back, and I said another thing to him and he talked back, and we had like a little dialogue. And I was like, oh, hey, I just needed the practice, apparently.
That is Awesome. I can only aspire to that level. I mean, I just need two more meetings and I'll be there.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you just got to get the practice. But anyway, you know, I know people don't really care about that, but I'm just saying, like, I think that he's...
I think people do care about it. I was surprised when I was at Montreal, you know, there I am on my little Twitter account talking about meeting David on skiing, and I was amazed how much people wanted to know all of the details. And I felt like I'm important right at this moment. At this moment, everyone just wants to hear, what does David Duchovny smell like? And I had like special information that nobody else did.
And
the answer is, I don't remember. Mm. And I remember almost nothing of my encounter with him. But it was still a magical moment, nevertheless. So I'm always amazed how much people do want to hear about everybody else's encounter. I find your story really interesting. So,
well, and I think they want to know, like you said, that they're not an asshole. Like, I think that's important to people. Like, I would not want to know that so-and-so was like an asshole to this person. And I've never met Jillian. You haven't met Jillian?
No, not yet. But she canceled on Montreal. Oh, it was tragic.
Well, apparently she's going to two more, so hopefully she'll show up. But I've never heard a bad story about her either. Like, I feel like she's always been really, really sweet with fans. And again, I don't know, I've never met her, but it's nice to hear those stories. You're right, because you want to believe that they're nice, good people, right?
We love these people, and we love reading news about them. And when someone's actually had an encounter with them, you know, especially, you know, someone who's like a Twitter friend, then it's like, hey, you've got like a little inside scoop. You had this moment with David or Jillian, or my God, both, and you had this experience that none of us have had and no one else knows about. So you've got like this little secret moment that we just would love to sort of share a piece of. So it's exciting. I find it exciting from afar, even when I'm not at the cons, to hear what other people's experiences are.
I still do feel jealous when I'm scrolling through my timeline and I'm seeing that like people, oh my God, everyone's at the con today and they're meeting them and I'm here stuck at home. Yeah. One day I'll get to meet Jillian. It's on my bucket list.
That's what I would love to do that. But my goodness, I mean, when I think about the madness in Montreal when David appeared, which was, you know, a magical moment. If both of them had been there, I don't know what the degree of chaos would have been, because it was pretty chaotic as it was. But I would be willing to deal with the chaos for the chance to see them both, or at least to see Jillian, having now seen David.
Right. If they came out here, and when I say here, I mean LA, or and for that matter, anywhere in California, I would go. I would try to go, especially because we don't know how many more of these we're going to get. I mean, it could totally be the kind of thing that, like, every 5 years they show up and they do another anniversary event. I guarantee you they're going to be doing those in the future, because this show is such a legacy that I would be surprised if they didn't. But But yeah, I think that it would be worth it to just see them in the room together. I think it would be.
I would, yeah. I would love to see that, just because they're magical together, and to see it with my own two eyes, I would be pretty darn excited about that, I think. I mean, like, it's pretty exciting to watch it on, like, YouTube. I can only imagine what it's like to see it for real. So I'm very envious of those that get a chance to do that. So
yeah,
if they were doing a con together anywhere in Canada, I would be tempted to go, probably. Maybe not this year, because I've spent like all my money and a lot of money I don't have on Montreal, but but next year for sure, I'd fly anywhere in Canada probably to see them, and maybe to the States as well.
She says that she's done. I don't buy it for a second.
Do you? Do you not? I hope not.
No. I mean the cons. I don't mean the show.
Yeah, I know. No. But I kind of did believe her, and it made me sad. But do you think we still have hope?
Well, I think after she's supposed to be done after she finishes this year. But like I said, I would be surprised if like they didn't come back and do it for like the 30th anniversary or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think I just think she meant like for now. Like I'm kind of trying to leave this behind, which I get and I completely respect. I think it would be really nice. I don't think we're gonna get one out here again, but I think if we did, I would go. Can you think of all the little interviews that I made you watch? I forced your poor soul to watch.
Oh, it was painful.
Which one do you think, or are there any particular interactions or moments or anything that stood out to you as like, you know what, that was cute, or I liked that a lot, or that was adorable, or there's something going on here that we don't quite know?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, it's everything.
Good answer.
I mean, it really is the totality of it. There's no moment that I said, well, this is boring. I was like, I mean, honestly, some of those videos go on a long time and I was riveted the whole time. But when I think about you might have to remind me where this one is from, because I kind of watched them all at once and they kind of blur together a little bit with me. There's this moment, what is it that... Jillian like licks her finger and they touch fingers or something, like, oh, we're hot or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very cute and very adorable. I feel like that was on Kimmel, but I'm not 100% sure.
No, I think that was in like Paley. I think it might have been in Paley Fest. I could be wrong. But like, I know what you're talking about. Like, cute. She remembered something. I think. And he was like, oh, you remembered something. Yeah. And it almost felt like a little like prearranged little secret handshake kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was so like well coordinated and like just, I can't even high five people without missing their hand half the time.
Yeah.
And this just like came together so beautifully and perfectly in that moment. And like the look in her eyes is just like, that's magical. And I'll also add, even prior to watching these magical videos, I did have kind of a video that I liked prior to these latest ones, which is, I think it's, I want to say the 1997 Golden Globes, I think, when Jillian wins and she like plants this big kiss on David as she's walking up to the stage.
Yeah.
And that's a heartfelt kiss right there. I mean, like, and like her hand like lingers on his face and or head for just like an extra second. That's like, whoo-hoo. Hot, yeah, right there at that moment.
This is why, okay, and this is really, I'm gonna go off on a tangent here for a moment. Forgive me, I do this. I have to out myself I'm a big Brother fan. I don't know if you watch Big Brother, but
it's about the only reality show I don't watch.
Okay, it's the dumbest fucking show ever. Don't watch it, but I'm addicted.
That's
because
okay.
It's because I'm terrible. But anyway, these people are like stuck in this house together. Obviously, people know the premise, and they're in there so long, and every minute, like, they're stuck with each other all day, every day. And these are the only people they talk to. And it was funny because I was watching this show the other day, and I randomly just flashed to like the idea of David and Jillian and how they are just forced to spend ridiculous amounts of time together. And I remember reading these interviews where they were like, look, like back in the first few years, like not only were we working together like every day, like 6 days a week, like 12 hours a week, we were on the weekends, we were doing all these interviews and photo shoots. Like they could not get away from each other, you know? And so when people get all like butthurt about, oh, they fought or they didn't like each other, or whatever, I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, I'm like, and she even commented on the fact, I think at one point in an interview, she's like, look, it was like a marriage. It was like a forced marriage. Like we had to be together all the time, you know, and you're in any sort of relationship where you're with somebody a long time, you're going to have these problems. Like these are going to come up. This is going to happen. And it's like, people can't seem to believe that is a thing that happens. And I'm like, okay, you're a person, right? Like you have relationships with people, right? Like, so to me, like when that comes up as like some problem, like, oh, they hated each other, they didn't get along, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, 7 years or whatever, whenever this happened, I feel like it was like 6 or 7 years in when all that bad publicity started to come out. What do you think is going to happen? Like that sort of thing, that doesn't really bother me. Like to me, I'm just like, whenever I hear a story or they're having a bad day or they don't seem to be getting along, whatever, I'm like, that's what happens when you are in this sort of forced situation with somebody for that long.
Sure. I mean, I think sometimes there's a tendency to feel like either David and Jillian are like best friends / lovers, or they hate each other and there's nothing in between.
Right.
It's
right.
All like it's black or white. But, you know, of course, you know, they have a 25-year relationship, so there's ups and downs, and I'm sure some years there were more downs than ups, and some years there were more ups than downs. That's just that is the way it goes. I'm sure it's not one or the other. It's like any long-term relationship. It's complicated.
And here's the thing: we will never know. And I think
we will not.
I think people can't deal with that. Like you know, and I actually, it's funny because I have this same reaction when I watch the show I'm like, yeah. this is the X-Files that we're watching when we watched A Love Date, because there are things that we will just never know. And we need to deal with that. Like,
we do. There are some things we will never know. You're right. And I think we can all theorize about, you know, do we think they had, did they ever get together? Yes. Will they get together? We can theorize. Are you saying yes, we're theorizing, or yes, they got together? What's your theory?
I am 120% certain that at some point they hooked up. How could they not? How could they not?
I go back and forth a little bit on that. I mean, I'm very confident that they did not have like any kind of a substantial romantic relationship, because I think exes are not comfortable enough around each other as those two are. There's just I don't sense that kind of tension that I would get. I would think if they were like, if they'd actually had like a substantive relationship, but you know, did they do it a few times? It's hard to believe they didn't.
Right. I have no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously attracted to one another. They obviously are like magical together. They're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So obviously very, very comfortable with one another. They have zero physical boundaries when they're together.
No, like, that's another thing.
None whatsoever.
That's another thing too. And I feel like, and I don't, again, I'm not one of these crazy conspiracy theorists who goes through and like figures out who they were with at what point and when they were doing these interviews and why they are touching each other all the time. But it is, it's definitely one of those things that you're like, what is happening? Oh, you know what we need to talk about?
Okay.
You've seen the Fight the Future alternate scene, right?
Oh, where they make out?
Yes.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Okay. I'm pulling up my sleeves and I'm ready to talk about that. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that my take on that is, you know, all day long they're filming this scene where they almost kiss, and they just got sick of the sexual tension, and they just felt like making out, so they did. That's what I think, or at least Jillian seemed to feel like making out, and David was not saying no. So I just think they just felt like making out. That's as simple as that. What do you think?
I mean, again, this is the one thing that I have actually like lost sleep over, because like I'm being hyperbolic here, but like I can't for the life of me figure out a reason why that happened, because they were both in relationships at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever, it's kissing, it's acting or whatever, but like, and clearly this seemed like, to me, this was all something that was kind of planned out in my mind, like this will be fun, let's do this. Like, I don't think they were filming the real scene and then just suddenly did it. I don't think that that happened. Like, I literally think beforehand they were like, oh, let's just do a take where we kiss. Like, I think that's and they talked about it with the director and just like for fun, like that's probably what happened. Then my brain goes, okay, well, at this point on the show, there has been no kissing.
Right.
So you then watch it like you're trying to figure out, is this really the first time these two are kissing? Is it? I don't.
That's a very good question.
It looks very comfortable, you know? And then you're watching it and you're like, how did this come to be? Why did this come to be? And I don't know if you noticed on that video, and again, she's an actress, but on one of those interviews, she's absolutely mortified that people knew that that was a thing that happened.
And she did seem like genuinely like, really? Like, are they allowed to see that?
And I mean, she's
like, we all have.
Yeah, she's not stupid. I mean, she knows they're rolling cameras. So it's not like she's an idiot, but at the same time, maybe she was just like, oh, well, we just kind of did that for us, which makes me think, okay, what does that mean? Did you take this home? Do you watch it? Like, I don't know what that means. And so this is what I'm talking about when I say this is like a puzzle that I can't figure out. Like, I don't understand. Like, I can't get to why or how this blooper. And the additional fact, I know people are just like, oh my God, you're digging deep, Annie. The additional fact that they did two takes.
They did two takes like that?
Yes, there are two different takes of that kiss.
Yes. I did not know that.
Yes. They didn't even do it one time. They did it twice, which makes me think. And you know, this was not going to be in the movie. Like, you know that. There is zero chance that Chris Carter was going to put that in the movie.
Yeah, no.
He wasn't set. I don't even think he would have allowed them to touch each other if he were on the set. But it was just one more thing that I'm just like. And so to me, I'm a hardcore in the lane of I'm a friendshipper of these two. I like when they're happy. I like when they have fun and they joke around and they're friendly to each other. That Fight the Future outtake is the one thing that takes my brain to a place I don't really want it to go.
Well, you've got me thinking now. I mean, you've brought up some very insightful points.
You will not sleep tonight.
I'm not now. I mean, like, all right, let's talk about the two takes. Do we have access to both takes, or we've only ever seen one?
No, they're both somewhere.
I don't know if I've seen both. I feel like I've only seen one version. So, okay, so first of all.
Or I could be wrong. Maybe they said they did it once and the cameras weren't running or something. I don't know. But I swear to God.
I'm going to find out now.
I swear to God, I have seen two different takes of this. You need to look in it because I feel like there's one where it's clearly them just fucking around and she like that she slams them against the wall and they kind of fall down.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen.
Yeah, and then there's one that felt different to me, and I don't. Maybe it was some weird fan edit. I don't know. People were weird, so I don't. Maybe somebody just edited it weird or something. But like, I swear to God, I saw two different takes, and then I also heard somebody say that like, oh, the cameras were shut off, so they made them do it again. And then I was like, oh, the cameras weren't shut off. Those people were just shippers. I was just laughing
to
myself.
Know it.
They just wanted
they
them
were
to
just
do it again.
Enjoying it. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Why not? I mean, if I had them in a room together, I'd make them kiss too. So
yeah.
I mean, why not? I always kind of felt like. I've not analyzed this nearly as much as you have, but I feel like I'm going to start.
Yeah, you will.
But I always just kind of felt like they just felt like kissing each other. And it was, as my mom would say, it was half in jest and full in earnest. Like we're pretending it's a joke, but it's not really a joke. And, you know, because I think it was, you know, we've seen the behind the scenes from the series and the movies. And so we know there's a, you know, they do some jokey stuff behind the scenes just to kind of lighten the tension.
Like fake blowjobs and stuff. They love that stuff.
Yeah. So I think that it was kind of in that vein, but I think it was kind of like, we want to kiss each other, but we don't want a complicated relationship, and we are with other people, but let's just pretend it's a joke and it's just an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you could be really right about that. And they know they're like, well, God knows how long Chris Carter is going to make us wait. So let's just do it.
Yeah. Especially when you like almost kiss somebody, like how many takes did they do of that? And like, I can only imagine how that would feel like almost kissing someone like 10 times and not getting a chance to actually kiss them.
But that's
at some point you just got to kiss.
That's when it starts to feel weird to me, when I start to think about them as real people with like real lives and families and husbands and wives and kids and things, because I'm just like, I get it. This is an acting job. This is a very different job than most people have. But like, I would be extremely uncomfortable if my husband were David Duchovny and he were going off to work with Gillian Anderson every day making this show that is there clearly like have this insane chemistry, and then to find out, oh, we just kissed it for fun today at work. Like, I don't know. And again, it's just maybe I'm just being a little over analytical here because that's what we do, but I can't figure it out. That's my point.
It's definitely their relationship defies explanation. I'm pretty sure of that. I think that to sort of impose normal understanding of human relationships on whatever they've got going on is a foolish undertaking, because their relationship is like a one of a kind relationship. I mean, even, you know, to this day, if David was my boyfriend and Jillian was my girlfriend, yeah, pray God that those things might happen. I'd be
fine with either.
Jealous. I'd be jealous to see them together just doing an interview. To this day, because I'd be like, man, they have something that I will never have with either of them, whichever one of them I'm dating in this scenario. I don't think that they have that same thing. And I suspect that fuels a lot of the Duchovny fire out there, that people see David and Jillian with their actual partners and think it doesn't look the same as it does when David and Jillian are together.
It doesn't.
And I get that, but, you know, there's more to relationships than, you know, magical chemistry. Magical chemistry is fun and they clearly enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not necessarily enough for a whole relationship. But at the same time, I would be like insanely jealous to see my guy or my gal acting like that with somebody else, because it's like, well, that's not what we have. This is way more magical than what we have, because who can have something like that? So,
right. And then I think about,
I don't know how that works.
I think about the other side of the coin, like they're actual partners, like you're saying, and how horrible I think they are treated on the on the media.
Oh my goodness!
It's disgusting sometimes, and I feel like that's kind of where I draw the line, because I'm like, I feel like these are real people with real lives, and I'm like, if I were these people that were actually dating them and had to be sort of bogged down by this fictional, non-fictional, I don't know what it is, competition, it would be just endlessly frustrating. And it wouldn't surprise me if these relationships didn't last. And I mean, it's kind of almost sad that if that's the case, like, you know, like you said, it's like, we don't know these people. We don't know their lives. They're not Mulder and Scully. They're completely different people. And so for people out there to be actively, like, I don't want to use the word sabotaging, but like hoping to sabotage their real life relationships just seems very strange to me.
It is. I mean, I don't know what it must feel like to know that people are rooting for your relationship to fail. I mean, I hope they don't know too much of what people say, but I think it's hard to avoid. So it must be really strange to have strangers out there who are 100% sure that your partner is with the wrong person and should be with someone else. I mean, I can't imagine how that feels, and for people to hate you just because you happen to be the person dating them. So,
and in a
strange, it's got to be awfully hard.
In a strange way, they're probably inadvertently making the whole "to love me, to love anything" less likely, because I feel like this sort of thing doesn't help. You know what I mean? Like,
it does not.
In no way does this help.
It doesn't help the fandom in general, really.
No.
I mean, if David and Jillian see even, you know, a slice of what you and I probably have seen, it must not make a fine impression on them about what the X-Files fandom looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, that is a tiny portion of the X-Files fandom, in my opinion, but it doesn't make any of us look good. So it makes me cringe.
I agree with you. And I think that's probably more likely the main reason that you wanted to mute Jelovny, because it's when it's negative. Like, I don't want to see the negative stuff. Like, if you want to post cute pictures and be like, oh, remember this happened? This was so cute. Yeah, love it. Yeah. Bring it on. But then, like, it's just, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, there's a lot of negativity. And I just think it's so strange to be speaking negatively about, like, real people and their real relationships when you know nothing about that. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to, like, bring the podcast down, but I do think that there's a line, and I think it's, like you said, as long as you're keeping it light and keeping it fun, I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking, hey, that's a nice idea. Yeah. If that happened, that would be cute. Exactly.
It's an enjoyable thing. They're very entertaining to watch. They seem like really nice people, and, you know, they're a gift to this world. And just as we can enjoy the X-Files in a certain way, then, you know, enjoying David and Jillian in another way is great too. They're lovely, and they're very entertaining, and they're enjoyable, and they bring happiness to my life.
Me too. Aww. Well,
yeah.
I think that's actually a really great place to wrap it up, unless you have anything else to add.
No, I feel like I know and have said more about Jelovny than I ever have ever thought, like, prior to last week, probably. And I feel like my life will never be quite the same again.
Well, if you were like a 0 2 weeks ago on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you now?
I put myself at probably an 8.
Wow.
I mean, I mean, like, if someone were tomorrow to say, hey, this is a new video that came out of a convention, I would be like shutting my office door and saying I'm in a meeting just so I can watch it.
Yeah, okay. I love it. Wow. And you know what? I'm going to take ownership of that, Jen.
Okay.
I'm going to take ownership because I sent you those videos and I said, you need to just, you need to fall down this rabbit hole because join me down
here.
Yeah,
it's your fault. Yeah, this is all on you, Eddie. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah.
But it's a hole that I'm happily inhabiting right now. It's just like, you know, now I don't have to skip those tweets when I'm going through my Twitter feed. Now I can enjoy them.
You can. And you know what? We don't know when this actual episode is going to drop, but as it stands right now, they're going to be at the Chicago convention,
Wizard World or some such.
Maybe if there's some really interesting content, maybe we'll do a little addendum to this episode. But
it'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah,
I have no doubt about that. Every time they get together, something interesting happens. Whatever it may be. So I'm sure we'll all have enjoyed that.
I'm excited. Well, a lot of time has passed, Jen, since we have recorded this last section of the podcast. Wouldn't you agree? A lot of time.
Time has passed and events have overtaken us.
Yeah. I think the last thing we mentioned was the Chicago thing. We didn't even mention Spooky Empire at Orlando.
Was not even on our radar.
This goes to show you how backlogged we are on our episodes. But we did want to definitely report our experience because both Jen and I were lucky enough to attend this past weekend, Spooky. What did you think of the event, Jen? Did you have a good time?
I had an amazing time at Spooky Empire. It was, I mean, so many aspects of it were awesome for me. The weather was spectacular after snow in Edmonton to be in the sunshine and palm trees of Florida. Like, my mind was just blown by that. And then on top of that, all the amazing fellow files that I met that weekend, it was just like my head was exploding with the awesomeness of all the wonderful people that I met. And then there was an X-Files convention at the same time. Well, I guess technically it was a horror convention, but to me it was an X-Files convention and all that came along with that. So many aspects of it were so awesome. And the large sums of money that I spent now all seem totally worth it. And I'm super, super happy that I went. So it was an amazing experience for me. It had, you know, occasional hiccups, as every con does. I think some maybe more than most cons, but that did not damper my experience at all. Dampened my experience at all. What about you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that was not typical Florida weather. I need to tell you, that was shockingly pleasant. I was amazed. I was like, am I in California still? What happened? It was like 75 and like balmy, like, and breezy. I was like, what is happening? This is not Florida. It was bizarre. Anyway, I had to comment on that because I felt like that was an X-File in and of itself. But I had a fantastic time too. I actually had a very quick turnaround. I flew out like on a red eye Friday and I had to leave super early Sunday. So like the entire experience for me flew by in like 24 hours, which was a little crazy. But I mean, honestly, like, I've never been to an X-Files convention before. I know you've been to how many?
I was at the Montreal Comic Con.
Yeah.
And I've been to the Edmonton Expo, but there were no X-Files people there. Oh, so I've been to two cons, only one of which was X-Files connected.
I've been to San Diego Comic Con a couple times, but it's been a long time. And I felt like that usually we would go and then go in for like an hour and we'd be like, we're done. And we would leave because it was just too many people. But this was obviously not that kind of experience. We had several things we had to get done. And yeah, I agree. There were definitely some hiccups, but I mean, I got everything that I needed done. Yep. Did you? Like, I was
I had the advantage of having been there. I was there for 3 days, whereas you were just there for the one day, the Saturday, which was the day of madness.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little bit of extra time to get things done. Plus, I splurged and got the VIP, which gave me a little bit of an advantage in terms of the lineups, but the lineups were still extremely long no matter what you did.
Your life was a lot easier with that VIP thing. I was actually kind of regretting not getting that, but you know what, we had so much fun. Like, I mean, I had so much fun. If I ever say we, I'm talking about, shout out to my friend Casey, who was hung out with me the entire time. But like,
hey Casey,
we hung out with so many friends, like, when we got to meet all these people that we had met online. It never really felt tedious to me. Like, I always felt like I was having fun, even when we were just standing in line. So
that's absolutely true. Like, there were so many people that I knew there from Twitter, from pals that I had met through being on the X-Cast podcast and many different aspects of X-Files fandom. And so I knew lots of different folks from that. And even at the odd time, if I just kind of got separated from folks that I had been hanging with and just found myself on my own in line, it took no time at all to start chatting with somebody else in line.
Yeah.
Who just became like your instant buddy because they're there for the same reason you are. And everyone was just like, even though it was kind of occasionally stressful, everyone was just so excited and so happy to be there. And we had this instant shared experience and I made so many great new friends. So yeah. You're absolutely right. I never felt tedious. It was tiring at times and occasionally a little stressful, but only briefly so really. It was amazing. I loved it. And I just, because I'd been to a con before, I think I went in a little bit with the mindset that expect things to go wrong, expect to need a lot of patience, expect the volunteers to not necessarily know what they're talking about.
Which all happened.
And so if you kind of accept that already, then it's a little easier to take when it happens. So I'm glad I'd had a few experiences that were not the best. Montreal, actually, now I realize was really well run. Edmonton Expo, not that really well run. And so having had those two experiences, my expectations were set appropriately. And that helps.
It's funny, like, I really feel like they did what they could with the problems that they had. Like, I haven't heard from anyone that, like, didn't get their photo op or, like, didn't make it in time. Like, I feel like they were able to accommodate everybody. And I could be wrong about that. If you had a problem, please let us know because I would be really curious to know. But, like, obviously the schedule was far too tight. Like, they didn't anticipate how many people were going to be there. And I heard that they were actually, like, selling... I heard at the end, like at least with Jillian, I'm not sure about David, but they were selling additional autographs, which made it so that like she couldn't personalize. And I'm not exactly sure how that all came about, but I know some people were really mad about that, which I sympathize with. That's really terrible. I mean, you pay a lot of money for this stuff and, they should at the very, very least be able to write your name. You know what I mean? That's crazy. Seriously. So
yeah, it was definitely their schedules were a little overpacked, perhaps.
Yeah.
From what I could see, just in terms of the speed with which they were being required to move.
Well, tell me about you. You've met David, right? Yeah, we talked about this before.
Yeah, David and I encountered one another in a purely platonic way when I was in Montreal at Comic-Con there. So I'd had that experience meeting him there, and I also met Mitch and William B. Davis there as well.
What about this time with David and Jillian?
It was... definitely busier, definitely a lot more people to see them, even though it was a smaller convention overall compared with Montreal. There was a lot of people there to see David and Jillian because they were there together, I presume, is why there were so many more X-File fans there. There wasn't like, to me now in comparison-wise, there wasn't a huge number of X-File fans in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely more X-Files people there. And so the lines were long and it wasn't quite as well run as Montreal. So it was
your experience.
My experience was waiting in line first, and it was more rushed. The ones that I can compare, of course, most directly is my experience with David, since I had an experience in Montreal and an experience in Orlando. And certainly in Montreal, it was still pretty quick. Like, I'm thinking specifically of the autographs. Photo ops, I expect to be rushed.
Yeah.
The autographs are, I thought the one in Montreal was pretty fast, but the one in Orlando at Spooky was that much faster, actually. And like so fast that you barely even had exchange eye contact, I found.
Yeah, I was like, I was amazed at how quickly it was over. I was just like, yeah. Well, that was quick. And I mean, I knew it was going to be quick, but I was just like, gosh, I felt like I had more time to speak with David at his book signing. You know what I mean? And that was super rushed. I mean, we had a good 30 mm-hmm. seconds to sit and have a little back and forth that. And I'm like, this was just kind of like, okay, hi and bye.
And but I don't think he even had time to look up nor did Jillian. We'll get to her in a second. Yeah. And, He was just like, you know, nose to the grindstone kind of thing. He couldn't. Yeah. I think he may have briefly looked up, and the people ahead of me had been able to engage him in a little bit of conversation, and so he was still kind of talking to them while he was signing for me.
Oh, and that's annoying.
Yeah, isn't it? And then as they were leaving, the person behind me, of course, wants to get in. So there just wasn't enough time to have even a brief exchange with everybody. He was trying to, but then like. things were getting a little bit backed up, and then he'd have to sort of speed up again, I think. So,
what about Jillian?
Jillian, for me, she was that much more rushed than David was. I saw Jillian early in the day, interestingly enough. She actually started signing before she was scheduled to.
Yeah, I heard that.
She was supposed to start at 11, and I think she had started at 10:30. I don't think the non-VIPs were even allowed in the building before 11 o'clock.
Right.
But I happened to be in there, and my friend and roommate Maria, shout out to Maria, texted me while I was standing in the line for photo ops, because I thought, I'll just go straight to photo ops. I'll catch Jillian's autograph later. Texted me and said, Jillian's here right now signing. There's not many people here. So I boogied on over to the autographs, and so I hardly had to wait in line at all for her. It was like perfection.
Oh, that's great. She was
awesome.
Probably not as rushed in the morning, too. I mean,
she probably was a little less rushed, but she was still kind of rushed.
Well, I mean, no matter what, they're going to try and get as many done as they can. Like, we hit her. We were literally hitting her in her last section. So,
so I kind of got her at the beginning of the day. You got her at the end.
Yeah. But I found that, I mean, David, in especially in his photo, or not photo, the autograph, he seemed a little distracted, and I might add slightly grumpy, but he didn't really talk very much. He was just very much, like you said, nose to the grindstone. But Jillian was even in her rushed state, I noticed she was just very, very kind and sweet, put me at ease, and was, I don't know, it was a really nice experience with her. I have a little bit of a funny story. When we took our photo op, maybe people saw this on Twitter, but when I went and took my solo op with Jillian.
Just you and Jillian.
This is so embarrassing. I put my heels on.
The embarrassing story is the best.
Yeah, I put my heels on because I knew she was wearing her really tall 4-inch heels and I didn't want her to tower over me. So I put mine on too.
Okay. But, and how often do you wear those heels?
Well, I only wear them like when I'm going out, you know, so okay. I'm not really like a heels person. It's not like, okay. But I think the problem was, I was just very, very kind of distracted. Obviously, this was a huge big deal for me, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
And it was carpet. Okay. It's like, I'm not used to walking around on carpet, like anywhere. Okay. So I think it might've been the carpet. I'm going to blame the carpet. But anyway, right. I'm standing next to her and we're taking our photo, and I feel myself starting to lean over because she's got her arm around me. She's kind of pulling me, and I'm starting to lean, and I literally am like, I am falling into Jillian Anderson right now. Like I have to like stop myself, and we kind of like catch each other. And she's laughing and I'm freaking out because at first I'm like, okay, I almost knocked her over, but then she's laughing and I love how she's laughing because I'm like, okay, good. I didn't piss her off at least. But then she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm like, sorry. I'm so sorry. She's like, it's all good. It's okay. It's okay. And I'm walking away and as I'm leaving, I'm just like, oh my God, I just made Jillian Anderson laugh because I got to hear the laugh. And it was just amazing. It was like a perfect little moment. And I'm walking out. I'm like, okay, well, I almost knocked her over, but at least I got to hear her laugh. And then the best part of the story actually is later when we went back to do we did the cast op. And this was much later in the afternoon. She remembered me because I was like, I'm sorry, I almost knocked you over. And she's like, oh yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And I remember we were like, I was kind of like freaking out about it because I was like, oh my God, she remembered me. And I almost fucked up the photo op because I was like, not ready because I was out of my body. And then as I'm walking away, like in this daze, like I'm seriously thinking, oh my God, I just fucked up my $500 photo op. And I have this horrible look on my face. And I think she thought that I was still upset about the tripping incident. So she grabs me by the arm and she pulls me and she goes, hey, we're cool. We're cool.
Oh, did she?
Yes. And I just remember looking at her going, okay, thanks. You know, and she was just like so sweet, but I felt like she was really, really concerned that I was like upset about it. And I was like, I wasn't even concerned about it, Jillian. I wanted to be like, I was just worried that I wasted $500. That was my main concern. But it was just very sweet how she noticed that I was like having a moment, and she pulled.
Aww.
It was, I just thought it was very sweet of her, and like that is sweet. I'll always remember that. It was just a really cool little story, and I'm like, yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
If I ever see her again, I'll be like, yeah, I'm that girl that almost knocked you over because I tripped on my heels. But you know
she'll
what?
Never, She'll never forget you.
Jillian gets it. We've seen her trip on her heels before.
So. We have. She gets it. She understands the dangers of heels.
I think that's why she was laughing, which I just loved. It was adorable. So yeah, that was my favorite story. And shout out to Nicole, one of my friends who actually like had her phone up and was shooting pictures of this entire thing happening, which I tweeted. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw it. But thank you, Nicole, because those pictures made my whole day. It was such a cool moment. Well,
truly, I mean, it was truly a picture it didn't happen moment, and luckily you had the pics.
God, yeah, because I probably wouldn't have believed that it happened if she didn't catch that on video on photo. It was just insane. But
that's pretty wild.
Let's talk about the panel.
Okay.
Because this was other than some of the technical hiccups that we've all heard about enough. Like there, were, the sound quality was not good and.
The sound quality was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and you were in the front, right?
That was, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to be forgiving towards Spooky. I know a lot of people kind of had a lot of beefs with the Spooky Empire people by the end of the weekend. I'm trying to be generous towards them, but I draw the line at the quality of that of the audio at that panel because the microphones were giving way too much feedback. The volume was all wrong. They had a really loud fan going the whole time, and all of that was easily predictable, easily resolved. This was day two of the con. They should have figured this out by now. How to resolve this issue.
Especially by the time like the headliner showed up. Like you gotta have all that stuff figured out. Like we were in the very literally the very back row.
Yeah.
And I don't actually know if they shut people out because maybe it was a capacity issue, but there was a lot of space behind us. So I was kind of surprised that like if anyone got let out or got stuck out. I don't know why, but we couldn't hear a thing. Like I could barely hear anything. Like I remember like we heard the beginning, the whole Chili's thing, which we'll talk about in a minute. And I heard some of the stuff like later that I was straining to hear, but a lot of their answers and a lot of the audience questions, I couldn't hear at all. So it was, that was a little upsetting, and luckily, thank God for YouTube and people who film it. So that way I could watch it later, but that was probably the only really, really disappointing thing about it. But bless them, they really did their best and it was a great panel. It really was.
Yeah. I mean, for all of the problems, both audio, visual and possibly personnel related. the celebrities came through. They kind of saved the panel, I think.
You know, we were all hoping like over the past several weeks, they're like, hopefully they're going to be on, because I feel like we've seen panels and even recent panels where they don't really seem in sync. You know, we're always talking about them being in sync. They just don't seem like they're really wanting to be there. And I don't know. I felt like I felt like they were having a good time. That was
I felt like that too.
I mean, they were really trying hard to make the best of kind of a bad situation at the beginning, especially with all the sound hiccups. And I was like mortified. I was just like, oh my God, please get this fixed, because it went on for like 5 or 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, they did their best, and
they rolled with it.
Yeah. And they were funny, and they were very cute together, magical, as you would say.
Oh my God, I would say that.
You would say that. But
a lot.
We have to talk about this Chili's thing, okay?
All right.
So
yeah, we do.
Jillian had this shirt on that was referencing the infamous Chili's fan fiction that we've heard so much about. And I remember that there was a bit of a debate going on of whether or not she's actually read this story, or if it was just maybe something like her PR people, her assistant told her about, and so she was just making jokes about it. And
because she's tweeted about it, or you know, someone on her Twitter account has tweeted about it. So that's when people started to think, hey, maybe she's actually read this.
Right. She's referenced it, and so we were like, maybe she referenced it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that she read it, or she, you know.
Right.
But I think it's pretty clear that she's read it, because she was making these references to things like within the story that I have shamefully have to admit that I read and I made you read, right?
I read it for science.
For
just
science.
So that I would know what we were talking about. I mean, I'd heard enough about the fic that I had the general gist, but I thought, well, this is the hot topic coming out of the panel, so I probably should know my stuff, so I've read it now.
Right. And I mean, there's really not much to know. It's just sex in a booth at Chili's. Like, that's about it.
Yeah.
But
it's not the best fanfic I've ever seen.
No. But, you know, it's it fits the purpose, right? It does.
I guess it does.
It does what it's meant to do, I suppose.
But, when was it written? Do you know when this was written? How long ago?
I actually don't. But I think it was a while ago. I mean, I think it's a pretty old.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty old fanfic. Yeah. And if the author is out there or knows who the author is, I would really love to know if this person is aware of the of the hubbub and craziness that this has made, the waves that this has made in the fandom.
Truly.
Especially so, now.
So we'll explain. What was the T-shirt that Julian was wearing? It said something like "Fajitas and Chill," I think,
yeah,
and then had like the Chili's
and Chill
logo or something on it.
Yeah, but it also had like Mulder and Scully with the flashlights or something. I don't know. It was just really cute. I would totally credit the artist right now, but I don't have it in front of me. Please tweet at me and I'll retweet you, whoever the artist of this shirt was. But
it was a reference to that particular fanfic, and so she was wearing this particular T-shirt and drew attention to it.
Well, and David clearly did not know, or at least pretended to not know what was going on. And I don't think he did. But I don't think he did know.
No.
And she had to explain to him, which was the best part, I think one of the best parts of the panel, is that her explaining to him what exactly this was about. And just how adorable she was explaining this to him and how comfortable she was explaining this to him.
Yes.
And the crowd going crazy. It was amazing.
Because she explained it in quite blunt detail about exactly what the nature of the story was.
Well, we have some audio of this, don't we?
We do.
We do. Well, maybe let's put the audio in.
Did you know that, Chili's? You don't remember? You don't remember? Does it look pink? Fuzzy and pink. No, he had sex in the children's room. We had sex in a booth of Chili's. Mulder and Scully. That is so.
Authority,
I read it.
It's fanfiction.
It's real.
Do you read all X-Files fanfiction?
I'm always the last to know.
It was good for me.
Yeah, so. Okay, so there's the audio from that bit of the...
And you can see what the audio quality issues were as well.
Yeah, apologize for that.
I wish that was better quality.
It's okay, though. Hopefully you can understand what they were saying, but it was just such a great little moment between them. And
it was adorable.
Yeah, and
a moment between them, and a moment also between Jillian and the audience, because the audience was loving that.
Oh, yeah, and she knows what we like.
She knows, yeah.
But even David was, I think, getting into it. I thought it was really cute. I think my favorite part of it was when she was like, well, it was good for me, even though you didn't remember it. And he kind of says, you can't hear this on the audio, but he kind of says, I don't forget. Or he said something like, I never forget. It was very, very cute and very...
They really ran with that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I love them. Oh, my God.
They really, like, you know, made the best of that whole thing. I mean, like, it could have been incredibly cringeworthy and embarrassing for all concerned, but Jillian is just, she really kind of led that story, and she's just so chill with everything and fun, and she was really having fun with it, and really, she was a really good sport about it. And of course, you know, the fans loved every second of it.
Yeah. And I have to give a shout out to David, too, for also being a good sport about it.
Because
I feel like a lot of people give him shit for like being kind of like I said earlier, a little grumpy or maybe not participating. Yeah. But I didn't feel that from this panel. I felt like I think he was great on this panel.
I think he was, too. I think for me, this is I've seen two recent panels with him. I was at one in Montreal. Jillian wasn't there, but he was there with William B. Davis and Mitch Pileggi. And then I saw a video of the one at Wizard World in Chicago, I believe.
Oh, and the one in Pasadena. There was also one in Pasadena.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that one. Have you seen the video from that one?
Yeah, it was awkward. We don't need to talk about that.
Okay, well, we won't. So so both of the ones that I both attended and saw on video, David was, I wouldn't say, like, super high energy. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But I thought he was much more into it in Orlando. He seemed to be in much better spirits. Just seemed to be enjoying himself a little bit more.
Totally. I mean, like I said, part of this might be the both of them knowing that this could be the last time, at least for a long while. I got that feeling.
Yeah.
So what else happened in this panel that you feel like might be worth mentioning?
I really liked, personally speaking, I don't know why I found this so charming, but there was two parts that I found super charming. One was, and they were both towards the beginning. I found the panel became less interesting as it went, perhaps because they were just becoming less engaged, but... right after the Chili's story, they were, because they're both like sort of, you know, quite high energy at that point. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard the story before about Gillian Anderson subletting David Duchovny's apartment for like 3 days
early on in the
filming of The X-Files, I guess. I'm not sure when exactly. Because, you know, the subject came up about like what was their working relationship like, and she brought up the fact that she'd subletted David's apartment for a few days. And it was just funny the way that she told the story, and she, you know, saying, I never paid you for that, so technically it wasn't a sublet. And, you know, he's like, that's why I bring it up. Like, he's trying to collect the money.
They were just totally on with that. It was cute.
Just funny. Yeah. It was just funny that back and forth way they told that story, as though, you know, like when you have like, you know, good friends or, you know, a pleasant couple friend who tell stories really well together.
Yeah.
They tell stories really well together, and they told that story well together. And then my other favorite part was, so, like, because this whole thing had been really a bit of a gong show, out of nowhere, suddenly this balloon appears.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was from It.
I think someone had used it as part of their cosplay for It earlier.
Yeah.
And so there was this, like, sort of half-empty red helium balloon suddenly floating in front of the stage.
Oh my gosh.
Out of nowhere. But it was the way that Gillian reacted to it that was so charming. She said, this just gets better and better.
Yeah.
Because there'd already been so many problems. And then, like, the balloon sort of slowly descended towards a member
creepy.
Of the audience.
Yeah, I was like, this actually is very appropriate for spooky, because it was kind of spooky.
But she just kind of really, like, went with it and pretended like she was giving the balloon to that person or something.
My God.
And said, it's for you. And it was just, it was really funny. She was just like... It's very quick on her feet as Gillian Anderson, I have to say. And, like, you know, David was into it too. So I thought that was really funny. And to me, the noteworthy part of all of my favorite parts of the panel is that the moderator was involved in none of them.
I know.
He had absolutely no role in any of the best bits, including the very end when Gillian actually auctioned off that T-shirt that she was wearing. And she ran that auction like a pro. And she was so funny and so engaging and really entertaining. And whenever David and Gillian were allowed to run the show, it was great, in my opinion. What about you? What stood out for you?
I'm not going to shit on the moderator, because it's, you know, I think he was just very nervous. But, like,
I think he was.
At one point, he called them Molly and Skulder, which is all you really need to know.
Exactly. And the audience just left.
Even
at that,
David
too.
And Gillian, like, they looked at each other like, who the fuck is this guy? It was just really, really funny.
He was just obviously, he was very nervous. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're too nervous to moderate a panel, you shouldn't be moderating it, in my opinion. I'm a little harsher than you are, I think.
It's true. I just don't want to waste time talking about him, because that's not what we're here to talk about.
I'm sorry. Yes,
it's okay. Don't be sorry. I'm just moving on. So the other thing that I thought was really, really funny was at the very, very beginning when they were having troubles with the sound. I'm sorry. This was my favorite part. David is just, like, fucking around with the microphone because he notices that it's, like, the sound is weird on one side, but it's not on the other side. Gillian has no idea what he's doing, but he brings it to one side, and then he brings it between his legs, because of course he does, and then he brings it at Ray, and then he brings it between his legs again, and then at one point he kind of taps her, and he's like, hey, look at this. And he's like shaking the microphone between his legs, and her face is priceless, because she's like, what are you doing? And it was just so funny, and he realized, I think, quickly that kind of didn't look right. Like, he's like, never mind. I'm distracted. I don't know what he said, but it was just very cute. It was like, are you guys 12? I'm like, maybe you are. You are just 12. It's okay.
It was cute.
It was adorable.
It was because they, you know, they just like, they just had this, like as they often do, this sort of wordless exchange between them of this whole kind of like conversation going on that we are not privy to.
Yeah.
They understand completely.
I love them so much. It was just those little moments where, like, she's like, what are you doing? And then she looks at everybody like, what is he doing? It was just super cute.
I feel like the more they interact with each other, the better things get.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Because they find each other totally charming and humorous, I think. And so the more they're looking at each other, the better things are getting. It's just fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and I didn't think there were very many great questions. But
there weren't any really horrible ones either, though.
No. I mean, they were all very kind of middle of the road. And like, yeah. I was just like, there was one point where somebody asked Jillian again what she thought of the ending. And I was like, why do you have to do that? Like, we already know how she feels about the ending. Like, I don't know why. I just get so annoyed when, like, she's...
I don't really have a huge problem with asking that question and getting it in. I see your point completely, and I understand what you're saying. I don't have a problem just because I really hope one of these times she's really going to crack and be just like completely forthright with all the beef she has, because she always answers that question.
I think she already was. Well, that's my point. Like, when she was at the facts convention, she laid it all out as much as she possibly could.
Yeah, I guess I feel like there still could be more saltiness in there.
But I don't think here's the thing. I don't think there ever will be, because she's friends with Chris Carter. Like, Chris Carter is like the godfather of her kid. It's like, stop forcing this to be uncomfortable. Like, you asked her 18 times. We all know how she feels about the ending. I would have much preferred that person ask David what he thought about the ending.
Yeah, because he's never really said,
has he? I have yet to hear what he has to say about it.
That's a fair point. Fair point.
And I'm like, why do we have to get the same? This is the most annoying thing to me about cons. Is like, I'm like, why do we have to ask them the same questions over and over? Is it going to be different because she's saying it to you? Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, and she obviously didn't say anything different. She was just like, you know, I don't have much more to say. Sorry, you know.
Yeah. So, there wasn't a whole lot of interesting things that came out in relation to the questions. I mean, both of our favorite, yours and my favorite moments were not connected to audience questions in any way, shape, or form.
No, it was like you said, just when they were talking to each other. And I mean, like, I get really annoyed when people ask them the same question over and over and over, hoping to get a different answer. That's my biggest peeve. Like,
yeah, in many cases, I think maybe they're hoping to get a different answer. Or in some cases, I think maybe they genuinely don't realize that people have been asking this question. Like, they haven't been to the other cons and haven't taken the time to watch the videos of the other Q&As to see what they've been asked before. I don't know.
I'm going to call bullshit on that. I think with this particular question, I think there are just a lot of angry fans out there that just want to hammer it home.
I think so.
And I sympathize with their anger. I understand it. But I'm like, look, we're here to kind of like, why do you got to bring down the room? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with discussion as long as it's something new. Like, I would have been very interested to hear David's answer to that question, because he's never answered it. He just kind of sits there stoically because he doesn't want to talk shit about Chris Carter, which I completely understand. You know, it's like, why are we forcing this over and over? So anyway, I don't want to go on about it.
There's definitely better questions to be asked, I think, in many cases. But, you know, I wasn't up there standing at the microphone, so I can't be too critical of those that had the nerve to go up and do that. So good for them for trying. I definitely would have asked some different questions, but like I say, at the same time, I didn't cringe at any of the questions either. If the worst that you can say about them is that they were a little dull and repetitive, then that's not too bad. At least I wasn't like hiding from embarrassment about any of them either.
At least there was nobody up there this time asking them how Mulder and Scully have sex, because that would have made me run screaming for the door. Like,
I think, yes, I think I might've had to like stand up at that point and said, no,
like,
we are not all like this.
Please stop.
Please don't.
So thankful that there were no moments like that.
Energy level kind of declined, I would say, gradually through the panel, because the questions were not brilliantly insightful, and also I think just the environment of the room, it was a little warm, it was a little loud in terms of the noise, background noise, and so it just wasn't a pleasant room to spend time in. So I think that was all part of the reason why the general energy level kind of declined over the 45 minutes or so.
But luckily, you know, they saved it. I think overall it was a really good panel and it had a lot of great memorable moments.
It really did. And ending it with that t-shirt auction, which was, of course, no one's plan but Jillian's, really ended it on a high note
as well
in terms of excitement level.
It would have been kind of, because I don't remember the last question at all. It wasn't like a great question, as I recall, because I didn't think it was very memorable. But like, I remember thinking, oh, if this is over here, this would be kind of lame. But Luckily, she brought the energy back up with the auction.
She really did. Yeah. So that was really great. And, you know, obviously the fans were really excited to be there with them. And they seemed happy to be with us. And just that sort of interaction, that direct interaction between a crowd of fans and our favorite two actors is you can't recreate that any other way. And so it was really fun to be a part of that. I mean, to have the chance to put my own little two hands together and clap for David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson is something that I appreciated having the opportunity to do.
Yeah, it was just, it was really exciting. Overall, I think it was a really positive experience, which, you know, in the end is, I think, all that really matters. So I had a great time. And I think, God, I can't help myself. The more I see them, the more of like a Duchovny fan I have to become.
Yeah, I'm with
still,
you.
Like I said, I'm still in the friendshipping boat, but I'm always going to
friendship them. Boat too. Yeah, but their friendship is magical. As I can't come up with any other word for it. Yep. It's magical because it's not just like, oh, isn't it nice that they are, you know, pleasant towards one another? Nuh-uh. It's on a whole other level of enjoyment. And, you know, we can all enjoy it as a friendship. That's still pretty fun. They don't necessarily have to be in a relationship for Duchovny to be like a super enjoyable phenomenon. So, you know, it was fun to see them together and for them to be enjoying themselves. And if that does wind up being the last time they're on stage together, I'm glad that it was a pleasant one.
Exactly. That's kind of what I kept telling myself, too, because I'm like, I really don't know when they will do this again. When and if. I mean, hopefully they will. Hopefully down the road they'll do another anniversary or something. But you never know.
You never know. I mean, you just never know what turn events are going to take. I think I'm glad I didn't really think about that at the time because I probably might have started crying at one point. So I'm glad I didn't think about that until after the fact because at the time I was like, yeah, let's do this all again like next year. But of course,
well, you never know.
Not count on that.
Never say never.
Never say never. But I'm glad that I went when I did. I mean, my bank account's never going to forgive me, but it's totally worth it. Totally worth it. I'm glad that I went out there. And I'm glad we have the chance to talk about it a little bit and hopefully share some of the magic with those that weren't able to be there.
And I'm glad I finally got to meet you, Jen. We'd never met before.
Yes.
So it was great.
That was the best part. I mean, meeting Gillian Anderson, meeting David Duchovny, pretty cool. But meeting Annie from X-Files Diaries on a whole other level of cool.
That was pretty amazing.
So that was pretty awesome, actually.
It's
so
funny
it
because
like,
I feel like I mean, I already know you. So it wasn't like insanely, it wasn't weird or anything, but it was just cool.
It was a little weird in the sense that like we know each other already from doing these podcasts together.
Yeah.
But that's not normally how you meet people, by doing podcasts with them.
It's true.
I already knew you in a podcasty way. But then meeting you in person was just a little strange because it's like I usually are just a disembodied voice to me. Yeah. So having you as like a 3D person, awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. It was really, really great to meet you. And it was really great to meet all of the people that we've been talking to. All of us have been talking to so often over the past several months. It just felt like a big love fest. And I had a great time.
Yeah, it was exactly that experience, you know, times 20, 30, 40 with all the folks that I met that I'd been, you know, chatting with on Twitter over the last several months.
Yeah.
It was just great to meet them as actual real live human beings. So it was amazing to meet those folks. And it's, you know, it's so great to come to the end of a weekend like that. And sometimes you come to the end of a convention or a get together of some kind and you make new friends and you think, oh, let's try to stay in touch. And it's hard sometimes, but we don't have to worry about that in this case because we were already in touch before we actually met. So
exactly.
Thanks to the wonders of social media, we were already in touch. So it's very easy to stay in touch afterwards. We know we're going to because we enjoy that stuff. We enjoy staying in touch. We enjoy talking to each other. Mm-hmm. We enjoy communicating with folks via our podcast. And we chat with each other on a pretty regular basis on this podcast.
Well, if you guys attended Spooky Empire, let us know what your experience was like. You could tweet at us at XFDpodcast on Twitter, and we will definitely talk to you there. And Jen, you know, this was such a great time. Great, great experience. Yeah. And we will be back with you guys in 2 weeks for more X-Files Diaries.
Bye.